Good evening.
Good evening.
So many people on the road tonight. So many people crowding the grocery stores.
Oh, who would go to a grocery store?
Who would do that?
Wow.
A lot of people. Imagine. Imagine. An occasion like Thanksgiving, any kind of big holiday, just we all end up moving the same direction, rather, more or less. And I always think of it, the thousands and thousands of turkeys being put in thousands of ovens, and the odd things that we do that give a sense of communion that we don't usually otherwise have. So it's often wearing and challenging, but it's also a fine example of how it is for us, how we do belong to each other. So we were to take number 37, as I recall, about not making gods into demons, to not make painful that which is inherently joyful. It says you might be doing well in your practice and you feel that your achievements are real. But at the same time, you're arrogant about the whole thing, that your achievement begins to become an evil intention because you think you can show off. Even though your achievement might be the right kind of achievement. Showing off practice building up your ego, of course, isn't a really good idea. I think it's more of a tendency in groups that practice together in a more monastic setting than we do. We don't have to show off to each other about.
Is the same one as the twist? As the.
It is more like.
Number 36, the one before.
That's the one just before.
Did we already do with the twist?
Don't actually twist, yeah.
We did the twist this week?
I don't remember anymore. I thought it was the twist, but.
Well, maybe so.
Because what was the one before the twist?
Not trying to be the fastest.
Right. I think I'm pretty sure. What do you think, Wendy?
I agree. I thought it was the twist this week, but I was going with the flow.
Well, let's do the twist.
We can skip the twist. It was a difficult one.
Oh, this is painful. The twist, don't be tricky. Don't be self-satisfied. They are both very much the same. Yep, that's right. It is that
both are kind of sneaky.
Are kind of what?
Sneaky.
Yeah. Yeah, being tricky and showing off and deceiving oneself and deceiving others.
Habit, tricky. I've been having a nicotine addiction problem for a couple of years.
Oh, Jim.
And have quit about six times this year.
Wow.
So when I'm smoking, I'm tricky. I don't let anybody know.
Yeah.
I wash my hands, I brush my teeth, I sneak off. Now I'm not smoking, so I don't have to deal with it. But it might happen again. But that's the kind of tricky, I think.
That's the kind of tricky that we do live in our practice.
Yeah, because I'm embarrassed. I can't own what I'm doing.
Yeah, and it's caught you. That kind of addiction is a physical addiction. So
it's
that's why it's so difficult and why you have to hide, because it owns you. I know that one very well. I smoked a lot when I was young. It was awful. 3 packs a day. Marlboros.
She was a Marlboro woman.
And I finally was horrified when I found myself at midnight in a raging storm out of cigarettes for the morning. And I got in the car and drove all over town trying to find some place open where I could get some more. And I thought, this thing owns me. You know, it's making me do this thing. I don't have to let it own me.
I said it could have killed you.
It could have easily killed me. I don't know why it didn't. So I know that deep, it has nothing to do with what you think. It's your whole body is craving it.
Yeah.
I had to get the Asian flu and be so sick for so long that it was over by then. The physical addiction was gone. And then I just held them for a while because I loved the feeling of it. And the whole ceremonial part of it is also very addictive. Beautiful smoke going up. The whole feeling of it coming in and out.
Now you're making me want to smoke.
Making me want to smoke.
Try what?
Vaping.
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, right now I don't have to do anything, so I'm very happy.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yes. That's the best.
Yeah.
And just let it be what it is. Yeah. Because it isn't real. It's just one more dream that we dream. Well, I encourage you. It's much better without.
Yeah. Then I have to be sneaky.
No. Yeah. That's even worse. Yeah.
One thing that helped me was I cultivated kind of laziness with respect to smoking, and even more recently when I quit drinking earlier this year, just kind of saw it to be just one big hassle. It was too much effort to go outside. I don't want to go outside. It's something I never want to do anyway. But and you have to go to the store to get them. That's one more trip, and you could just be without. So you might want to try that. Just cultivate some laziness. It's easy. Not doing stuff so easy. It's just so easy not to do stuff.
Yeah.
You can just not do anything, and then you'll stop.
And then it's not a part of your habitual life anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you feel better, and that helps too. Yeah.
As soon as you said that, as soon as you refer to the sneaky and to your own addictions, that certainly resonated for me, and just other behavioral habits and things that I think that I need from people, or somehow I deeply need them, but I am not looking at the cause of why I need to act out patterns with people, for example. And the sneaky part is that I think I'm working on it, but then if this transfer it to somebody else, or there's lots of ways to be sneaky.
Well, desires are also a hook.
Yeah.
And we don't tend to remember how much we have. We're always thinking about what we don't have and what more we want. And I've been thinking about that just because of Thanksgiving and the gratitude that comes through. Suddenly everybody's talking about gratitude. We never talk about it otherwise. But that's the trick. We're obsessed with what we don't have. We don't remember to be grateful for what riches we live among and participate in. Yeah, greed, hatred, and delusion are friends.
I was having a hard time coming up with a life example. It seemed to me that these are all about little mind games that all these different varieties that we might tend to play that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Does that seem
mm-hmm.
fair to say?
Yes.
And this one, to me, sounded like, in a way, pretending to be one way but really being another.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe pretending to be humble or something, or unselfish, for
yes.
example, but really not being that way at all. And I could think of a lot of examples of my being that way, even when I was little with my brother, you know, pretending that I wasn't really something, some confident way that I might have been, kind of pulling my punches, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think of anything this week where I know I've done it. It felt very familiar when I read the description of it. So I'm just not coming up with an example this week, but maybe next week that I will. In the meanwhile, I have plenty of examples of some of the other ones that we've done recently that there's one that's don't bring things to a boiling point or mm-hmm. don't. So as we've gone through them, then later I see, oh yeah, well that was one I did,
uh-huh.
and so it just seems as though the slogans themselves are built around these things that we just have habitually done for
yes
many hundreds of years. People have been doing them. Kinds of self-righteous behavior.
That's exactly right. To enhance a self that doesn't exist in that way at all.
Yeah.
All of them are about that. We do these tricky things in order to present ourselves in a certain way.
Build ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. To our idea of ourselves. We don't know how we really come across to others. We can't tell. But we'd like to think that we look really perfect. Do our best to put on a good show.
But is it even good to think about how we may appear to other people, or do you think we should just...
Doesn't matter what we think anyway.
Worry about it too much.
We can't know.
Yeah.
There's no point because we don't know. Even if we ask somebody, oh, how do you think about me?
They would,
what do you imagine they would say?
They won't tell you.
Put on a spot.
Sometimes you're presented with situations like in a business relationship, a transaction, where you do want to present yourself as an honest, dependable
That's
person,
true.
But sometimes the system trips you up, and then you just you're just left dangling. You just have to have faith that being honest and forthright will save the day. I might lose my 100% Amazon rating because I was doing a favor for Subway.
What?
No.
You know, I sell books on Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm having a situation that endangers my good reputation.
I hope it's not.
Because I was trying to do a favor for someone.
It's not the book. They're not for me, I hope.
No,
oh,
not
good.
For you.
Okay, good. Oh, dear.
Well, yeah, that's right. Sometimes you get caught doing a good thing. There's no guarantee that doing good things is going to give us anything. Points in heaven or
in Amazon.
What a horrible thing.
Oh, Amazon's ruthless too. They don't care. They'll lower your rating for anything. So brutal.
Yeah.
I know, I've sold books on Amazon too. They can be pretty brutal. You mess up.
Well, it's a complicated system, and you have to learn the rules, and there's no person you can just call up for advice. Send emails and wait till it gets to India and then get another response. But, I mean, I've worked it so far that had an incident. So I'm just saying the point was sometimes we do need to put on a good face.
Yeah, you have to follow the rules if there are rules and you're engaged and you commit to the engagement. But you don't have to commit. But once you commit to a system, then you're caught by it. Just like you're caught by the cigarettes when you commit to them. So if you break a rule, then they've got the means to make you suffer a little bit.
Well, it's there's complex. It's not processes. It's different processes. And
there are different rules.
It's complex. There's all sorts of rules.
So that was
generally winning. This was
okay.
One little setback.
If you go from 100% to 99.9,
I'm low volume, so.
Oh, really? So it'll be like down to 80.
If I cancel an order, I'll recover. I mean, it's
gotta make you order.
Big day. It's just
buy the books of world.
Buy the books of world.
Ship it.
I had to do that once.
Ship that drifts.
I had a book and I thought I had it in stock and I didn't. I was like, no. I had to find it and obtain it and then send it out.
This is a rare book.
No.
It's terrible.
It's just really quirky. I mean, yeah. So anyway, you know, we don't need to discuss Amazon. That would be endless. But maybe I'm Jeffrey.
Samsara is
dropping
endless.
The line.
Yes. Except for when you find your way out and you're gone. I'm not happy about it either. There you go.
Yeah. Well, the next one, we'll try to be more clear about which is which. I look at both of them when I get ready for tonight, and then I looked at both of them, but I got so into the gods and demons that I forgot we were doing the twist. So this is a little bit twisty too, but twisty in a different way. If you build up your ego with the right kind of achievement, if you think of that as perfecting yourself, you're making a mistake. There's no way to perfect yourself, and there's no self to perfect. And so the effort of doing good or achieving something is useless effort. It's what we say, there is no achievement. Whatever we think as a goal and getting there is all a dream. It's all a made up thing. As soon as we achieve something, presumably it's gone. We can't ever recover what we supposedly achieved, and we can't even really know whether it was real. Things that we remember back are always skewed. It's never accurate memory. So living on achievement is living in a big mistake and parading around and assuming that one has achieved greatness in some way is Coben always said, if you think you've achieved something, just remember it's a stepping down. That it just puts you in a more difficult position. You've got more work to do. And you should just forget about yourself and just do it, whatever there is to do. Just carry on. So if at Thanksgiving dinner you achieve some high, great thing, just remember, it's nothing. It's nothing.
By not burning the cranberries, that's not an achievement.
Cranberries, no. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to achieve, does it? Or it just means we shouldn't be attached to. Or it's achievement itself kind of a loaded word here. That
I think it's a loaded word.
Okay.
I think it means that we're efforting in the wrong way.
We're looking to create make something.
Of ourselves.
Of ourselves.
Okay. Yeah.
Rather than, as you said, just carrying on.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Just carry on with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And do the best we can, but not get too puffed up about it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I did this. Did they notice it? Did they see it? It's wonderful. You don't know what people see. And don't need to. Yeah. It's hard to, though. People do notice, and people do call attention to things with you. And it's very easy to be self-conscious, because people are always watching each other and coming to certain judgments about what they think they see. We all do that. So it's hard to keep the state of mind that is open enough to not be worried about what kind of appearance we're going to make in the world and how we're going to be with others. As a child, I was very worried about that. My mother was very worried about that. She came from a very small town on the Mississippi River and was taken up to a big city. And she never quite got over being a little country girl in a big city. So she was always socially very nervous lady. And she always was saying, what are other people going to think? Those people did it the right way, so we should do it that way too. Kind of mind that it's such a struggle. But normal, ordinary. So see what comes up. And I will try to remember that it's number 37, though I never remember numbers. We'll see. Is there anything else?
Could you possibly read it one more time so I can keep it in my memory?
37. This slogan refers to our general tendency to dwell on pain and go through life with constant complaints. We should not make painful that which is inherently joyful. That's the basic message. And then he says, at this point, you may have achieved a certain level of taming yourself. You may have developed the Tonglen practice of exchanging yourself for others and feel that your achievement is real. But at the same time, you are so arrogant about the whole thing that your achievement begins to become an evil intention because you think you can show off. In that way, Dharma becomes adharma or non-dharma. Although your achievement may be the right kind of achievement, and you may actually have a very good experience, if you regard that as a way of proving yourself and building up your ego, it's not so good. Thank you for asking. That was a good idea. So there's sitting going on at Jikoji in a week, I think, Murahatsu Sesshin. So you might want to drop in. I think they're open to drop-ins. And we'll have a one day. Our one day will be our Rohatsu session to celebrate Buddha's enlightenment all over the world. Zen people are celebrating the enlightenment. So other Buddhists celebrate in May and celebrate the enlightenment and the death and all of the things we celebrate with Buddha all on one day in May. But we separate it all out. So we have the enlightenment and then we have the death day in February when we'll do a sesshin at Chikoji. And then in April, the birth. So, that's another thing to look forward to. So should we do our minute?
Okay.